Welcome to Dissecting the 80s. I am one half of the Mega Podcasting Powers, Triple A-No. With me, as always, the Tower Power, too sweet to be sour, the Macho Mandrew.
Andrew Lano.
We are here today because Adam Sandler has decided to make a new movie.
Can we even call them movies anymore?
I mean, no.
I think they're more like two-hour commercials.
They are definitely more like two-hour commercials at this point. Although, I will say, hashtag hot take incoming. That's what the Marvel movies are starting to feel like to me.
See, you say that, I don't feel that way.
Because, like, watching the latest Avengers movie, the majority of the runtime, I was like, guys, like, stop trying to sell me other movies. I'm coming to those movies. You don't have to sell me on it. I'm coming. I'll be there. As long as they don't start sucking, like, I'll be there. But I don't need you to do that. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to spend 2 hours being like, hey, look, there's this other guy that's going to be in another movie. I get it.
They're setting things up.
But it's too much.
I don't know. I think it's a big universe and it needs a lot of setting up.
I don't think it does, though. It's like we've been watching these movies for 5 years now. Like, I get it. I get that there's a lot of stuff happening. Anyway, That's not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about...
Unfortunately.
What we're here to talk about is a movie I didn't know existed until one fateful afternoon about 6 months ago when I was at a local thrift store. And as I do always in research for this show, I was perusing the VHS section and I found a copy of Going Overboard.
Not Overboard, starring Goldie Hawn.
Nope.
Everyone, just so you're clear, there's no misconceptions. It is Going Overboard,
right.
Not Overboard.
Right.
Because that's how he tricked me. I was like, oh, we're going to watch a movie called Overboard. And I was like, great, I love Goldie Hawn. I love that movie. Except it's actually kind of terrible. Like,
possible stay premise, tuned, by the way.
The premise is horrible.
Oh, yeah. It's a very, very ridiculous premise that I don't think would fly today. But no, this is Adam Sandler's first foray into film. And honestly, as like I'm saying this as more a factual statement than an opinion. It almost is barely a movie.
It's not a movie.
It's a series of loosely interconnected sketches, basically, that all are telling like a same like building to the same central endpoint. But the movie itself is basically just a series of sketches with talking.
There's no through line.
Yeah, no. The loose through line is all of it takes place on the same boat. But there's basically a couple loosely connected stories that unspool over this 90 or so minutes of runtime.
And there's zero character development.
None.
At all. I don't care about any of these characters. And I just kept being like, so when does the movie happen?
Right.
Like, at what point does this become a movie?
Now, I'm going to put the brakes on for a second, because we always forget to do the housekeeping stuff, and I want to do the housekeeping stuff now. So we'll be back to talking about Going Overboard in just a second. But
we also didn't go back.
Yeah, I know. We didn't get there yet. We're still preambling. So before we get too far and lose the place, I want to do a couple things. So first of all, if you're listening to the show, tell a friend. Tell someone you don't like, even. I don't care. Just tell a person. We're turning Dissecting the 80s into a pyramid scheme. You get two friends, and they get
two
friends.
And we're turning one.
What's that?
And we're turning
right.
One.
Well, that's I'm getting to that. Hold, where you're jumping ahead of here on me.
Okay. Well.
So tell two friends, and then have them tell two friends, and just build us that way. If you have a moment, and God knows you have a moment, if you're listening to us, get on the iTunes or the Stitcher or wherever you get us, and give us a rating and a review. It only takes you 10 seconds, and it really means a whole lot to us. And as a bonus, I'm going to say this. If you review the show, we will read it on the air. I don't care what you write. I don't care who you are. If you write a review of the show, we're going to read it on the air. To that end, this gentleman didn't review the show.
Yes, I did.
No, not you. This gentleman whose thing I'm about to read.
Oh, the email?
Yes, we got an email or a comment on our blog where we post the things, which is dissectingthe80s.wordpress.com, although that's not important. But to that end, to put my money where my mouth is, we got a comment on our episode number...
Pi Day. Whatever
that
was.
Yeah, I'm trying to see what... For number 14, Magnum PI, Season 6, Episode 12. It's from a gentleman named Sean, and this is what Sean wrote to us. And I'm not going to make fun of the guy, because I think it's a legitimate gripe, and I think he is well-written, and he wasn't that mean to us. So, Sean wrote, "You guys picked one of the worst episodes of Magnum PI to review, and Season 6 is... worst season of the entire series. Why would you not have watched one of the best episodes instead of one of the worst? If you had done even the smallest amount of research, you'd have read that the writing of the show went downhill after season 4. As well, you guys are making fun of the voiceover monologues that is one of the film noir tropes, which is partly what the show Magnum PI is playing off of. Film noir mystery film filmed in Hawaii. Also, Higgins is not Magnum's butler. You guys would do better if you did your research before you make fun of things. It makes you sound uninformed." So, thank you, Sean.
What I wish Sean had done was said, hey, here's a good episode.
Well, I'm going to reply to Sean right now, actually, and I'm going to tell
him. Because I was like, that's cool. Like, thank you
yeah.
for telling us that. But what's a good one?
Yeah.
Because clearly we don't know.
Right, we don't. I picked the one that sounded the most interesting based on the description.
We picked a carnival.
Clearly unaffected. Why
would a carnival? Like a traveling circus.
So exactly. So I'm legitimately saying this, even though he obviously is not a fan of ours. Thank you, Sean. We appreciate you writing in. I hope you're listening to this episode, and please keep them coming. If you write a review for the show, we will read it on the air. You can write anything you want that is not hate speech, and we will read it on the air. That is the line I'm drawing. If it's hate speech, I won't read it. But that's it. I'll read it if you call me an idiot. That's okay. I will read it on the air, and you can call me an idiot. That's okay.
I won't. I didn't say that. He did.
I will read it if you call him an idiot. I will read your comments on the air. So
you can read it.
Furthermore, announcement number two.
We are turning one in a month and a half. Still trying to figure out exactly what we want to do to celebrate. But since Cindy has been the sort of incepting?
She's kind of like the
inception.
She's like
the
fifth Dissectomaniac, basically.
The fifth.
Well, we got Hulk. We got Macho.
Oh,
so maybe she's third, and they're fourth and fifth. She's an important part of the team. Is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, she's part of the inception of dissecting the '80s. So we want to incorporate her.
So we're figuring it out, but we're going to try to incorporate Cindy as best we can. And don't forget when you're thinking,
maybe she'll show up
when you're thinking of gifts for your co-host. It is the paper anniversary.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so when you're thinking about what to get me for our anniversary, you remember that it's paper. Year one.
From me or from the audience?
Well, anyone, but especially you. I'm getting you a gift. I would hope that you'd get me a gift as the paper anniversary.
I'm glad you said something because I was not planning on
it. Well, that's good. It's good to know that you care.
Well, I thought more birthday than anniversary, but okay.
It's the show's anniversary.
I know, but I think of it more as a birthday. Like, oh, it turned one.
Okay. It's the show's first anniversary. It's sort of the same thing.
If someone listening knows Cindy Lauper and can get her on the show, please.
Maybe we should tweet at her. Know.
Oh my God. Does she Twitter?
I don't know. She's a celebrity.
Is that the verb?
I mean, she's a celebrity.
Or do
right?
I just sound like an old man?
Celebrity is all tweet, I thought. I thought that was like, if you're a celebrity, you have a Twitter. At Cindy Lauper.
So. Okay. Is it verified as a checkmark?
It is. And look, Dissect the 80s is now following her.
Is now?
Bam. Dissecting the 80s is now officially following Cindy Lauper.
Go ahead and tweet at her. Not now.
Well, I'll send her a tweet. She's never going to read it, but that's all right.
Her people might.
It's a possibility. You should, everybody out there, tweet Cindy Lauper and say, hey, you should go on Dissecting the 80s.
Taffy butt. Hashtag taffy butt.
So.
That's how we'll know we sent you.
No, hashtag Dissecting the 80s. Hashtag Dissectomania. Something. Just include at us, at Dissectomania. Which leads me to my next thing. We're on the Twitters. We're on the Facebooks. We're on the Instagrams. At Dissectomania. Facebook.com/Dissecting the 80s. And Instagram.com/Dissecting the 80s.
Or at Dissecting the 80s if you use the app.
Right. So that's how you can find us. We want your reviews, we want your comments, we want your ratings.
Suggestions.
Yeah, whatever you got, throw it to us. We'll listen. We just read that guy's comment on the air, and he doesn't even like us.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a long 10-minute preamble to start the show. So,
yeah, it's been a while. We gotta go back, Marty. We gotta go dissect the 80s.
The Mega Powers explode!
I'm talking about the 80s.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania runs wild on you?
Mad Mega Power Team.
Oh, yeah.
Going overboard, as we dribbed and drabbed there for a little while, Adam Sandler's first movie came out in 1989 to literally no fanfare, and then after he got famous in the mid-90s, 95, 96, the movie was re-released, which is when this VHS copy that I have came out.
Yeah.
It's now on Netflix.
It's bad.
But don't go watch it.
It's bad.
We often on this show end up torturing ourselves for your amusement.
And I won't have it anymore, so... I'm sorry. This is the final straw. So now every movie is getting a fine-tooth comb. I have watched a lot of shit for this podcast.
Isn't that part of the draw?
But my problem is, like, okay, Howard the Duck, silly, but watchable.
Sure.
It's not amazing, but it is watchable. My problem is when things bore, like, tip into the unwatchable scale. And we have watched a couple things that are... unwatchable.
More than a couple.
Capital U, capital W, file that one away.
It's more than a couple.
And I say four.
That's more than a couple.
That's, four is a couple. It's a handful.
A couple is literally two.
Okay, whatever. But usually, I think for the most part, our unwatchable stuff has been together, sitting down, you and I, in the same room watching
sure.
it. So it's easier to power through that way, as opposed to when we're apart, and you watch it first, and then I watch it usually a day before we shoot, so I'm fresh and like in the headspace. And it's too late for me to be like, hey, can we not? Can we please do literally anything else?
Well, not to air the dirty laundry of the show, but I will say, you've seen this. You know what the schedule of this show is until January. You're more than welcome to say no after okay, you check something out.
Theoretically, I know what the schedule is.
The schedule is known to you through January at this point, so you're welcome to watch the ball.
Theoretically,
I know the schedule. I'm just saying. So, another thing, if you have a favorite joke or bit from the show, if you want to send us a comment on one of those places, we'd appreciate it. I'm looking at putting together a little Dissecting the 80s sizzle reel, so you can send things out to friends and people you think might be interested. Say, hey, here's, you know, 5-10 minutes of good jokes from these idiots, and then maybe we'll spread the word that way. Mm-hmm. So,
or anything, any movies you're like, this movie has to be watched.
Right, yeah, we'll take
and
that.
And if you send me unwashable shit, I will hunt you.
But yeah, if you want to send us a movie or a link, or hell, if you want to buy a movie, we'll probably watch it. If you take the money out of your pocket and buy us something for us to watch, we'll probably feel obligated.
Yeah.
So let's,
no matter how unwatchable.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get into this stupid movie, because it's not going to take us that long, I don't think.
Well, I mean, we've taken enough time.
So I believe, I don't know this for certain, I did a lot of attempted research, and there's not a lot of information about this movie out there, but what I think...
None.
Yeah, what I think happened
None.
Is the guy who financed this owned that boat, and...
No, I don't think so. From what I read,
okay.
They were on a cruise from somewhere to the Caribbean. I want to say it was like Florida to the Caribbean.
Okay.
Or no. Frack. They were on a cruise somewhere that was going, that literally was going to the Miss Internet, the International Miss Concert competition.
Okay.
So it genuinely was just a boat that happened to be full of beautiful women.
And they just like happened to be on it and were like, we'll get a camera and start shooting?
No, I mean, they knew they wanted to film, but they were like, we'll just get on this boat, we'll film on this cruise. And then the cruise happened to be full of beautiful ladies, and they were like, great.
See, the thing is, the beautiful ladies are really only in those talking head segment.
Exactly.
Okay, so they weren't on the... It doesn't appear that they were on a boat with beautiful women.
They were on the boat. But the, you didn't see them?
But like the boat, when they showed it from like far away, was like covered in rust and disgusting.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It was really, really foul in some of the wide shots, I thought. So I didn't think it was a real cruise ship. I thought it was like a guy
no, it's
had...
According to IMDb, it was a real cruise ship.
Okay. Well, you did better than me on the research front then. All right, so...
IMDb, literally the first place other than Wikipedia.
I don't know. I didn't see it there.
And apparently the director of photography brought all the wrong lenses, so they had to shoot with random lenses.
That doesn't surprise me at all, and actually that makes this movie make so much more sense, because I really felt like things were in weird focal lengths the whole time yep. watching it. Like, why is this shot from this far away but this tight? I don't understand. Oh, well, that makes entirely all the sense then. Mm-hmm. So here's what I want to ask you about this movie.
Ugh.
So it starts with Paulie from Rocky. Bert.
Oh,
Bert
that
Young.
Was who that was?
Yeah, the General Noriega.
As a movie within a movie?
Yeah, okay. So he pulls out a tape that says Shecky Moskowitz's Big Break or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts the tape in to his VCR.
Yes.
And he pushes play. And then we yes. start watching the movie.
Yes, because my first note is, wait, is this a movie within a movie?
Okay, but while he's watching that tape...
Oh, so we're getting into the... We're going to dive right into this question because it was... I wrote the question 4 times.
Yeah, we're going right in because this is the thing. I finally figured out that this was weird about 20 minutes into the movie.
Finally?
Well, about 20 minutes in, I started... Like, I got enough brain power restored because this is really bad, but enough...
The first 2 minutes are awful.
Yes.
It's the credit sequence from hell.
Oh, it's awful. It's animated with, like, Adam Sandler as a big...
Caricature?
Yeah, big toothy caricature, and it's just the whole thing is a freaking mess. But yeah, let's just talk about this from Jump Street, because I don't understand it, and maybe together we can come to an understanding.
Oh, we can't.
So the movie that Manuel Noriega, General Manuel Noriega, is watching, called Shecky Moskowitz's Big Break, also stars General Manuel Noriega?
Yeah.
And takes place seemingly at the same time?
It's a weird Spaceball moment.
Yes.
But Spaceball acknowledged it and was like, ha, 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 this is the joke.
Right.
Whereas this movie sort of peppered it in
so we keep,
sporadically.
For sake of explanation for everyone in the world except us who has not watched this movie, there's basically three plot lines. We've got Adam Sandler and his best friend, played by the guy who played Lars in Heavyweights, one of my all-time favorites.
Shut the front door.
Yep, I recognize
that's why
him.
His mouth looked large and familiar.
I recognize, I am Lars. And I was like, oh, dude, it's you. Okay, so we've got Shecky and Lars hanging out in a boat. There's a subplot with General Noriega's guys who have been sent to kidnap and kill a woman for reasons that I'm never entirely sure of.
Because she disrespected the general.
Oh, I must have missed that. Okay.
Yeah, because that was the moment that I was like, wait a minute.
Right.
Because he's watching this movie, and we occasionally flip back to him being like,
right.
And then the ladies are all doing talking heads of like, I would do world peace, blah, blah, blah. And Australia starts bashing General Noriega.
Right.
And so we're seeing it fill our screen of the black background and her talking head. Then all of a sudden, he's watching on his little TV the black background talking head with Miss Australia,
which
saying,
is presumably being watched by him on a VHS tape of the movie that we're watching.
Yes. So just keep it.
that's the levels we're working with.
It's like Sucker Punch, but weirder. So he decides that she has to die. And it was at that point I realized that things didn't make any sense.
No, it's complete gibberish because the timelines just leap back and forth all over the place. Like, I never understand whether we're...
where we are.
Right.
Who are we?
Yeah.
What time are we?
What is happening? It doesn't quite make any sense to me.
Gobbledygook.
It is utter gobbledygook. And furthermore, Manuel Noriega is a terrible person. Why is he...
Was he a real guy?
Yeah. He was a dictator of Panama from the 80s as well. And in 89, we invaded Panama, removed him from power, and then brought him to trial in the United States. So that...
Presumably this is right before that happened.
Yes. But even before he was taken back, like we the world kind of knew he wasn't a great guy. It's not like people were thinking, oh, General Manuel Noriega, such a good dude. Why wouldn't you make a fake guy up for the movie?
Yeah, right? We never use real president.
Right.
We throw a fake president in.
Yeah, it doesn't...
Just in case.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't quite understand that. It seemed like a weird move, and I think is probably not without, partially at least some reason why this movie was faded into obscurity, not to mention the fact that it's unwatchable and terrible, but also yes. Because, let's not offend the guy who's kind of crazy, right? Let's avoid that.
Probably not.
So do you... What is your thought on this weird meta-universe that we've got?
I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Because VHS tapes aren't streaming live. Like, it's not today where I would buy it.
Right.
If he was streaming, whatever. Weird meta, stupid.
Right, right.
It's a VHS tape that he picked up from the video rental store.
Yes. Well, amidst all his weird porn.
Yes, but there's a whole... debate about the video rental store. That's where he got the movie, and they're like, where should we find this girl? At the video rental store? And I was confused the whole time, because what?
Right.
A, video rental store. That's adorable. B, what?
Yeah, it's pretty... So that's the problem I kept having, is they kept cutting back to him, and then he would refer to things, and I was like, wait, we're watching... This is one of those terrible movie things where they're like, oh, let me pop this in, and they put it in, and then like you're suddenly watching the movie that the guy in the movie is watching, which
yeah.
I don't think I can think of a single example when it's done not terribly.
Scream?
But they don't watch the movie that they're in.
There's a moment of... I mean, there's a moment of watching the surveillance camera. But,
right. But I'm talking about... I've seen it probably a dozen times where they're like, oh, let me pop this in. And they, stick in a movie and then suddenly that's what we're watching. In any case, let's get into this dumb thing. So he pops the tape in and either Burt Young, Paulie from Rocky, has the world's grossest thumb or his hand double does, because it is a thumb that a mother wouldn't even love.
It's been squished.
It looks like it's been dropped, many weights dropped on it.
Yeah, and he pushes it in with his thumb, and it's got a big old bruise. Big old blood bruise.
Blood bruise.
Inside the nail.
Inside the nail, and it's like flat and squishy. It's
like a hammer thumb.
It's a gross thumb.
I would have turned the movie off, like, if I was watching this, scrolling through the channels, blah, blah, blah. Was kind of, oh, let's watch this. I would have turned it off before the credits are over. That's how bad they are.
It's all caricature of Adam Sandler with big old buck teeth.
And a weird Jamaican song?
Yeah, just blipping and blopping all over the place. And immediately Adam Sandler is like, hey, we got... It's a straight-to-camera Ferris Bueller style.
As soon as he... Oh, terrible ADR and breaking the fourth wall were my notes.
And he literally says, "We got a boat and some hot ladies, so let's just make a movie." And then he like makes out with four women. He's the grossest human being alive. How do people keep paying him to make movies?
At least at this point, he was new, fresh and wasn't the worst.
Right, but...
like, didn't have the reputation of being the worst.
You're talking about a 26-year career as just a gross human.
I agree. That man should not have a career. Did you see those pictures of him with Selena Gomez?
Did you see the ad that his company put out that Rose McGowan blasted all over social media and her agent dropped?
Oh, yeah.
Where it was like, come in a push-up bra and nothing else.
And she said, this is disgusting.
Yeah, and he was like, shabba-da-boop-a-dap, doop-beep, and that was it.
Probably right, though. Probably a direct quote from the press release, if he did one. Yeah.
And also, his other movie that he's filming for Netflix right now is him playing an Indian chief.
Jesus Christ.
In Red Face. And the Native American... excuse me, I should have said Native American chief. No,
you just shouldn't have, because you know Adam Sandler's playing an Indian.
Well, the actual...
he has no self-respect. He has no respect for the culture and the people.
They cast a bunch of Native American people for
I heard
the
about
movie,
this.
And they all were like, this is horrifyingly offensive, we're leaving. And then they had to try to like talk him out of it, but they were all basically saying, did you read the script? This is horrifying. This is like 1950s stuff.
Yeah. Although we did that with Emma Stone in that Aloha movie, apparently.
Yes. But it's less overt than an entire movie where the jokes are, you know, Chief has a big bush and it's a lady with a large bush.
How stale is your comedy if you're making Native American jokes?
Right.
Because those haven't been funny since I was an infant.
Even then, that was not cutting edge stuff. You're talking about, you know, Catskills hack comedian jokes from the 70s or 50s, 60s. Anyway, Adam Sandler is a waiter in this movie, and he's...
and they're very upfront that there's no budget, which I appreciate.
Yeah, they were cute about it.
They very clearly said that we got nothing.
Yeah, like, we got this boat, we got some women, we got these three outfits that we're wearing, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's serving people some drinks, and then he goes to get them refills, and a bird poops in the cup, and he's just like, oh, ain't I a stinker? And does the, like, a mug to
camera.
Well,
the people were terrible to him.
I know.
In his defense.
But no one did anything worthy of here, drink bird poop.
They were pretty... I mean, I don't know. They were pretty shitty. If they were my guests, I would have thought about spitting in their drink.
What?
They were super shitty.
They were just mean to him about the drinks. It's not like they kicked him in the balls or something.
One guy said, hey, asshole.
So? He's kind of an asshole. Have you seen the rest of the movie?
Yeah, but they don't know that yet. They just got on the boat.
I think they just smelled it on him.
I agree to disagree with this one, because when you just get on the boat, you don't know the people who work there.
Please don't spit in people's drinks, and please don't admit to spitting in people's drinks on an internet.
I never have.
Well,
that's disgusting.
Never mess with somebody's food.
That's disgusting. And if you're an asshole, you probably deserve it.
But don't mess with people's food. That's beyond the pale. Anyway, we meet Lars, and at this point, we're about 8 minutes into the movie, and I wrote for the first time, boy, this really sucks.
Yeah. I remember thinking, oh, maybe half an hour has passed. No, it's been 15 minutes. And then we see the current comedian on the boat.
Who's basically a shitty Andrew Dice Clay.
He's about as funny as a current Adam Sandler movie.
No, he's worse.
You think?
Oh, yeah. He tells very Andrew Dice Clay, like, oh, and then I took a mom out to the back porch while she wasn't looking, and I did her too. Oh! And everyone just eats it up like it's the greatest thing in the history of the world.
Fake laughter, to me, is one of the worst things you can have an actor do.
Yeah.
It's so difficult and weird.
It is.
For no reason.
It's really hard.
I don't know why it's so hard to pretend to laugh, but it is. And that's what 90% of this movie is.
Yeah.
Is extras pretending to laugh, and the guy with the big mouth who is in Heavyweights laughing.
Yeah. And nobody
way
can
too
act
long.
At all. Nobody. There is not one good actor.
Wait, hang on. There was one. I said one lady was, and now I can't remember who. Did I write her down? Keep talking. I will find her.
I'll just wait. It's easier to cut.
There was one person I was like, they're the most talented actor in this movie. Well, and I think it was a lady.
Well, I don't recall. But you meet this rock star guy who seems like he's going to be a recurring character, and these groupies run up to him. There's a lot of stuff in this movie that just doesn't make any sense. So,
but Adam Sandler says that doesn't make sense.
Right. But
he flat out half the time was like, we know this doesn't make any sense, but we thought we'd put him in there to spice things up.
Right.
And it's just because you say that doesn't make it okay.
Well, my thing isn't even that. You know, I'm okay with the rock star guy showing up and being in the movie. I don't have a problem
with
that.
Being like a human poop.
Right, but that's okay. Like, you can have that stereotypical gross rock star. But the things I don't understand is two groupies come up to him and ask for a note that says, "Hey, Sally and Silly," or whatever the hell their names are, "thanks for the great night last night. It was awesome. XOXO, whatever my name is, rock star." But they didn't Kroger. Sleep with him.
But now they can tell everyone they did.
But they want to pretend to have slept with the guy? What's the... like, why? Wouldn't that be the worst thing to do?
No. So it'd be like, "I slept with a rock star"? I feel like that's a cool thing.
But wouldn't you have rather just actually done it?
Yeah, but if you can't do it...
But who says they can't do it?
I don't feel like it. If I had the option to, like, actually make effort... He's a disgusting human. He literally looks sticky.
Right, but all rock stars of the era... you're talking about hair metal era. You're talking about Bret Michaels. You're talking about Nikki Sixx.
Before Rock of Love.
Tommy Lee. I mean, you're talking about disgusting people. That's that era of rock and roll is gross. It's a lot of sweat, spandex, and hairspray.
Ew.
That's
I've seen Rock of Ages.
That's my book about the 80s. Sweat, spandex, and hairspray. The worst era in music history.
Okay. I was actually like, okay.
What?
That could pop. I didn't know where you were going to go. The worst era. And I was kind of like, where are you going with this?
No, I love the 80s. That's our why
podcast
this show exists.
Is sort of predicated on the idea.
I love the 80s.
We got
a
good
lot.
Pop music in the 80s.
Yeah. But the rock music of the 80s is just sweat.
Yeah, it's gross. It's
hairspray.
It's sticky.
Yeah.
Sticky.
It's sticky. Exactly. So, they keep cutting to these model talking heads, and I don't know if we mentioned this before when we were talking about the three running subplots of the movie, but I would say approximately...
Miss Universe, or Miss International pageant.
Yeah, but they're all wearing, like, gibberish sashes, so I think...
No, they're not.
Yeah, the girl whose sash says Miss Jamaica is blonde-haired and blue-eyed.
Yeah, it's... I thought you meant gibberish as in, like, they didn't say real places.
No.
Like, they all said real places.
Yeah, they all said real places, but clearly none of the women wearing them are from those places.
Hey, they picked Miss Brody to sculpt something that represented the Caribbean islands because she was definitely the cultural attaché to the country.
I mean, I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but I have a hard time believing Miss Jamaica has blonde hair and blue eyes.
Hey,
it's not impossible, but, you know, unlikely, let's call it. But anyway, they keep cutting into these girls, and they're asking them standard stupid pageant questions of, like, if you could do anything to change the world, what would you do?
If you had $1 million, what would you do?
Right. How would you make the earth a better place? And they just, it never makes any sense as, like...
It doesn't fit.
It doesn't
ever tie
into what's happening in the movie. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense as you hear the words come out of their mouths. And it's filmed in a completely different place than everything else.
It's the black background area.
Right.
That I was with the general.
And furthermore, while we're talking about things that make no sense, Paulie, the general, never leaves that room for the whole movie. He shot this movie in a day. I would bet any amount of money in the world on it. He shot...
Oh, for sure.
He shot one day. He did all of
his
scenes.
He's in the movie for 30 minutes total.
If that.
So, yeah.
And he did it entirely... He's only in one... He just changes clothes and he sits in the same chair. He never even stands up.
He got a day
player. He never even stands up.
He does, when he threatens to shoot the guys.
Okay, so does he stand up one time then?
One time.
Okay, the rest of it, he just sits in a chair, and either a woman sits on his lap or dotes at his elbow and feeds him grapes, essentially. It's very, very, very weird. That's what I wrote after the talking heads here. This is a bizarre artifact. I don't know if I would even call it a movie, but it's a very strange depiction of a certain period in Adam Sandler's life, and I would love to hear him talk about this.
Apparently he doesn't.
I'm sure.
Like, it's not even... Like, if you go to adamsandler.com, this movie is not listed in his filmography.
I believe it. Because it's barely a movie. And it was clearly made, like, threw a few bucks together, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
I think Wikipedia said 200,000.
I would believe that.
I think it's even giving it... Much.
Yeah, I mean, maybe 250. I mean, the boat rental probably wasn't that cheap, but beyond that...
I don't think... Like I said, I don't think they rented the boat. I think they just got tickets for a cruise.
That seems preposterous, but I guess it's not impossible.
Cheaper, too.
Sure. So we get our Alan Covert sighting. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but that is Adam Sandler's buddy, who's in all his movies. I don't know if they met on this, but I would like...
Who is he?
He's the bartender downstairs when Adam Sandler gets punched.
Oh, the weird kind of gay one?
Yeah, he's in all of Adam Sandler's movies. He's the lead in Grandma's Boy.
I never saw it.
Have you seen any Adam Sandler movie?
I've seen, like,
Billy Madison. Madison. Yeah,
it's been a while.
He's one of his lackeys in Billy Madison.
Oh, got it. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not Norm Macdonald or that other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's in all of Adam Sandler's movies, and it's also his first movie in addition to Adam. So I wonder if this is where they met.
Mm-hmm. really? Adam Sandler is going to admonish someone for fart jokes? Because he makes, he's like, well, that guy's the kind of guy who probably farts on stage and calls it a joke. And I was just, yeah, that's what you do.
That's you. You did that. You've done that for 26 years. Literally just made that. Fart noises.
Someone just said you were queen of the gays. I told you that.
It's preposterous.
The whole time, he's just making fun of this comedian for doing exactly what he ends up doing for the next 26 years.
Right.
And I don't get it.
Right. And to be fair, Adam Sandler is better at it than this guy, who's terrible. Oh, yeah. But it's not as if he's doing really high intelligent comedy.
No. Lowbrow.
And frankly, even in 89, as we talked about before with this rampant gross women stuff, he just made this movie, so he makes out with like three different attractive women in this.
Yeah.
It's so gross.
He gets to hang around them in bikinis.
Yeah. It's so gross. It's so, so disgusting. I can't believe
but
that he pulled it
off.
But
he was in really good shape in this movie.
He was in really good shape.
You don't see him take his shirt off. He takes his shirt off one time in a beach dream sequence where he makes out with a girl, and this was had a moment of what?
I think
that's what that used to look like.
I think this is a starving artist situation.
You think?
Like he literally can't afford to eat, so he's thin and in shape-ish.
But it looked like he went to the gym in shape.
Maybe.
And now I think I don't. The only gym he's been to is like
Jim Steaks Jim's on Bar- South Street.
Jimmy John's. Oh, I went to. I was Jimmy John's. But
yeah, him. Those pictures that you mentioned before of Selena Gomez in that beautiful dress and high heels
and
makeup,
horribly uncomfortable.
And him and Kevin James, Adam Sandler literally wearing sweatpants and a T-shirt with a hole in it, untucked, and Kevin James wearing cargo shorts and a untucked polo shirt and all the buttons unbuttoned is just disgusting. You look like two pieces of ham that have been left down on the counter for a week. It's gross. Get some respect for yourself. Exactly! Respect yourself.
Also, at least go across the board and tell everyone in the movie that we're not going to dress up for this premiere. Because Selena...
There's no way... There is literally no chance in hell Selena Gomez shows up at a premiere and not a dress. It doesn't matter what anybody else is wearing. It doesn't matter.
No, I know. But I think if she wouldn't have worn that dress.
There's no way. She has to look good all the time because she's getting her picture taken alone and that's what the people are going to see.
But she would have worn a very different dress.
I really don't think so. I think...
I do.
I think it's a calculated move.
No.
Because she looked good.
She was very uncomfortable.
Well, that's because she had two fat slobs laying their meaty, greasy paws all over. Kevin James probably smells like fucking prosciutto all the time.
Probably does. But I just think she would. I don't think she would have worn such a like she dress.
I think she looked awesome.
Oh, she looked amazing. But if she had, she was told that Adam Sandler and Kevin James would look like.
I think.
Like their,
I think the Hollywood
like their dad.
I think the Hollywood double standard. She has to dress like that. She's going to get judged way harder than they would because no one gave a crap except to make fun of them on the internet a little bit. It's not like it affected them in any way. But if she did, it'd be like, ooh, what's wrong with, what's her name?
Selena Gomez.
Thank you. I kept wanting to say something completely wrong. Ooh, what's wrong with Selena Gomez? Is she depressed? Is she eating right? Is she too fat? Is she too thin? Mm. Anyway.
He's disgusting.
Yes.
Moral of the story. And then
we have this
weird
dream sequence, right?
Yeah, it's very like fetish bizarre.
It is. It's super fetishy.
He's in a straight jacket with an apple in his mouth. There's a woman in a bikini holding a drum and a pair of drumsticks, like in a very stylized manner. And then the other comedian comes in looking like LMFAO.
Yeah, Red Foo.
You're familiar? Yeah, he looks like Red Foo. He's got a Speedo and a cutoff T-shirt that's like cut off below the nips.
Yeah.
And then a blazer.
Have you? Since we're talking about Red Foo, have you ever heard the story that with Gig and Red Foo and Blackjack?
No.
Gig was playing Blackjack in Vegas one time, and this girl was next to them, and she was like, our brother is Gig. And we were playing Blackjack and with this girl, and she's like, yeah, I'm a tour manager, and they were kind of talking to her about it. And she kept saying, she was very young looking, apparently, so nobody believed who she was, and she kept talking about being on tour with LMFAO, and everyone's like, okay, whatever. But, like, not being a jerk about it, just like, this person's just babbling because we're in Vegas, whatever. And then, like, a half hour later, Red Foo comes strutting through the club, like, wearing somewhat normal clothes, but that hair is impossible to
Yeah.
So, and he just like walked up behind her and he's like, hey, you ready to go? And she's like, yeah. And she finished the hand. She tipped the dealer. She thanked the guys for the conversation and they like rolled out.
And then she picked up the mic and dropped it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And shimmied her way out of there.
I hope I told that story accurately, but that's way more entertaining than this piece of shit movie. We also get another dream sequence soon after that one, because this is basically just a Family Guy episode of loosely connected cutaway scenes where Shecky and the comedian box.
Oh, yeah.
And
but they're boxing with words, and there's a little person?
Yeah, there's a little person as the ref, because I guess they think that's funny, and then they keep saying, like, ah, your mom's so stupid, she thought it was chilly outside and got a bowl, and then the other guy reacts as if he actually got punched, and they just, like, trade punches this way. But here's what
I'm
wondering.
They're really shitty one-liners.
Yeah, they are really bad. The makeup in the scene is horrible, and it's lit just atrociously, but if you're gonna cast Burt Young, who's pretty much only famous for being in boxing movies, wouldn't it have been better use of him to put him in the boxing sequence?
Yeah, but he was the general. General wasn't.
So, put a mustache on him or something.
I agree, but this whole movie was with poor design.
Oh, absolutely. And shortly after the boxing sequence is when we see the outside of the boat, if you want to go back and look, because I see that's where I wrote down how disgustingly covered in rust it was.
This is also where they add the tongue kiss sounds.
Oh, it's so disgusting.
They added like someone slurping ramen noodles slurping soup to people tongue kiss.
Oh, it's so,
like
so
porn star
gross.
Tongue out of the mouth, wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Oh, yeah, the tongues are just dancing in the air. It's foul.
And it's like,
yeah, it's so foul. Yeah, it's beyond the grip.
Also, the rock star, when he leaves, says "rock on" and does "hang loose," not "rock on."
That's true. He does. He almost drove me nuts. He almost does a rip.
Yeah, for a second, and then it's like he forgot which one was which.
Yeah, yeah.
So he just did "hang loose."
Yeah, he does. He does like a rock up into "hang loose," and it's sort of.
He does "I love you" into "rip."
Yeah, into "rip"
into "hang loose."
Yeah, and I was so excited. I thought "rip" was going to show up, because if you do the "rip" sign three times in a movie, he just appears.
He does. But I worked at Rock and Roller Coaster, and that is one of my biggest pet peeves, was people constantly doing "hang loose," even though we're all, literally every one of us at the ride, is making that "rock on" symbol.
Right.
So many people are just like, "hey, hang loose," or like, "I love you" in sign language. Like, that's really sweet, but put the thumb away.
Cover the fingers with the thumb.
That's really sweet, thank you, but you don't.
At this point, the comedian, whose name is Dickie, disappears, gets locked into a bathroom somehow.
No. He has to ask him if he can.
Did I skip something? Go ahead.
He wants to ask him if he can open for him, because the ship captain will not hire him as a comedian.
That's right.
And so he's for some reason decides that if he asks Dickie will say yes. Don't know why he thinks that.
No, I don't know either.
Because in a scene that takes way too long.
Yes.
He keeps asking to be the opener, and Dickie just keeps tearing him down.
Right.
And it goes on for several minutes of, well, I don't think I'm asking too much. You're fucking stupid. Shut up.
Yeah.
But I don't mean to ask a whole lot. Just gonna open. You're a fucking idiot. I don't care about you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mean to. Stop. Stop.
I get that you're trying to do the scene like Mikey and Swingers, even though that movie won't come out for four more years, where he just keeps talking on the phone. But what you're doing is annoying the audience a lot. Yeah.
I'm really pissed now.
Shh. You dumb. Stop talking. It's okay now. It's all okay.
Then we have the beach sequence, the beach dream sequence,
where he makes out with that girl again.
Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of girls come over to touch him.
Yeah.
And then Bob starts talking to him, his friend Bob, who is in Heavyweight.
Lars, if in Heavyweights.
Lars.
I don't know what his name is in this movie. I just keep
it's Bob.
Oh, it is Bob? Yeah, you're right. It is Bob. I keep calling him Lars. Yeah, it is
he
Bob.
He says it like eight times.
Yeah, you're right. No, you're absolutely right. I remember when he said it.
Shows up dressed as Adam. Well, at first I thought it was Adam Sandler in drag, and I was like, oh,
I did
this
too.
If this is where Jack and Jill came from.
Oh my God,
I'm
I wrote the same thing down.
We're about to see the inception of
yes.
Jack and Jill. But no, it's Bob in drag. And so he starts yelling at him as his mother, and then starts having a normal conversation about the woman he hooked up with. So was Bob just having a conversation with an unconscious person?
Yes.
Just, you're asleep, but I'm going to talk to you anyway?
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Okay, just as long as we're on the
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that Bob is just talking to a completely asleep Adam Sandler throughout this large chunk of this.
Mm-hmm. What is his general thing? What is he watching?
Yeah.
When I started to catch on.
Right. See, I told you, it takes a little bit of time before you realize, like, that completely makes the movie make absolutely no sense. Because he's watching something on a tape that's unspooling live and he's directly interacting with.
Yeah. This is also kind of a musical?
A little bit.
They had several mini songs, maybe 30 seconds to a minute each, but several of them.
Mostly as a way to fill time, it felt like.
Oh, yeah. This whole movie was time filler.
Well, yeah. They had like a 30-minute idea, and we're like, well, if we get it to 90, we can sell it on tape.
Tapes weren't even a thing yet.
Sure they were. Late 80s?
Were they?
Yeah.
So, Miss Australia, who gives mean opinions about the general,
was prompted to give those mean opinions by the jerk comedian to make her seem smart. So she thanks him and walks away, and then his hat falls over, and he goes, I gotta go back to my... Oh, he's sick. And he goes back to his room to throw up.
Right.
And then Miss Hustler the hat in the water and decides he's fallen overboard.
Right. Which leads to them having a funeral?
The fastest funeral in the West.
Like 6 minutes later, there's a... they haven't even searched the ship. They're just like, well, his hat's overboard. Clearly he's gone. And rustle up a funeral.
So bizarre.
It is.
The priest is
now here,
babbling.
Here's what I think they were trying to do. I think they were airplane? Trying to do exactly. Exactly, exactly. I think they were trying to do Airplane. Because Airplane does this really, really well. When Airplane gets into absurd silly, it's hysterical. But the difference
because
is...
Airplane is, sets up the universe to be that universe.
Well, that plus the Zucker brothers are hilarious heavyweights of
brilliant.
Comedy. Yeah, who are skilled and capable of pulling off absurdist jokes in ways that are funny. But instead, this priest moron just starts going, Red Sox 7, Yankees 6, bottom of the 8th.
It's so stupid.
Right.
And then Adam Sandler decides, well, since he's dead, someone has to be the comedian on the ship.
Right. As if that's
so
the
why
best
not me?
Yeah, right? Like, everyone is... A person just died on this ship, and instead of waiting a minute, I'm just going to leap right into his job. And
well, the best is he turns the camera and goes, someone's got to do it. Why not me? Oh, I can't. I'm way too nervous. So I couldn't imagine. And I was like, no one can imagine, because no one cares right now, because he's dead.
Also, no one wants to go to a comedy show on a cruise ship.
No one wants to go to your stupid comedy show, because A, you're terrible.
And B, no one wants to go to a ship comedy show minutes after the guy who was doing that show for a week jumped
died.
To his death.
I hate this movie. And then Neptune shows up.
Who's Billy fucking Zane.
Billy Zane?
Yeah.
What?
That was
really?
Billy Zane, yes.
Oh.
King Neptune was Billy Zane.
Looking like a weird skinny Santa.
Yeah, but totally Billy Zane. You didn't recognize him?
No.
Oh yeah, that was the Zane train.
Oh.
Yeah, you missed out.
I did. Someone gets called a butthole.
Which, I'll be honest, I kind of like. It's a fun insult.
But in this movie where nothing, there are no rules, like, let the expletives fly, you're going to go with butthole?
I guess I'm with you, but butthole's kind of a funny word. The other crazy cameo in this, and in reading the Wikipedia entry, sounds like he's in the movie a lot. In fact, he's only in it for maybe two scenes. Billy Bob Thornton plays a heckler.
What?
Did you watch the movie?
I did.
So Shecky goes on stage.
Oh, is he the black-haired guy?
Yeah, the construction
worker? The one who calls him a butthole?
Yeah. That's
that was Billy Bob Thornton?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's barely in it.
Wearing a wig.
What's that?
They wigged him.
Oh,
so.
They did. But he's in it.
Huh.
Yeah. And the guy who played the priest wrote one of my all-time favorite bad movies, which we'll never get to do on the show because it's from 2000, but Ready to Rumble. He also wrote...
Wait, is that the one where the guys are like, they clean porta-potties?
Yes.
And they want to
Scott
watch Conn, wrestling?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also wrote The Mighty Ducks and Heavyweights.
Wait, hang on. I thought The Mighty Ducks was written by like a famous person. Or no, Heavyweights is Judd Apatow. That's what I'm thinking.
He co-wrote Heavyweights, Stephen Brill, the guy who played the priest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway... On,
talking about much better movies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Billy Bob Thornton for reasons I'm not 100% sure of, but that's definitely him. They have a impromptu concert with
because
a
he sucks as a comedian.
But they just have a full set of instruments at the ready.
Yeah, that I wrote that note. That set was not set up. That stage was not set up for a band.
No.
And then they snapped their fingers and everyone the full drum kit was there. There were like three
backup
guitars,
microphones, all of the things are just there and ready. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Because as far as we know, this guy wasn't a singer on the cruise. This croaker, rock guy was not a performer on the cruise. He was just taking the cruise.
Right. He's basically in there as just a guy. He's just on the cruise having a vacation, basically.
Touching all the ladies, being sticky.
Right. And then the impromptu concert cuts to a montage where, let's call the montage 5 minutes, I'm guessing. The first 3 minutes is just women's bodies. They don't even show their heads.
I don't think they knew they were being filmed.
But they don't even show their faces, dude. It's,
I know.
It's just butts and boobs and feet. It's so weird.
It's gross.
It's
but I'm
so
telling you,
weird.
It feels like these women don't know they were being
no,
filmed.
No, I'm with you, because they don't play to the camera. They're just like laying on loungers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really think you're right. That this is probably the women in that competition, and they just kind of like walked by with the camera and hoped not to get noticed, Blair Witch style. Except
or,
gross.
Yeah, except the most disgusting Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Then Milton Berle shows up.
Who is the...
Oh, no, this... I think this was the moment where we get the real, this was the moment with where they got so Spaceballs-y in its moviness, like its meta moviness,
right? Right.
Because that's where he sends his lackeys to kill Miss Australia. Right. And I was just baffled.
Right. And that's, I had written there that Paulie, I was keeping a running tally, and he still had not left his office at that point because I was, I was sure he wasn't leaving that room. But Milton Berle showing up is the biggest breath of fresh air in this entire thing.
Someone actually good.
I bet you he wrote all that dialogue himself on the day.
Mm-hmm.
I would be.
He probably didn't even write it. He probably was like, "Yeah, I got this in my head."
Yeah, I would be stunned if Milton Berle didn't just come up with this stuff, zip zap zoop, making fun of Adam Sandler, crushing him. And honestly, it's the best performance out of Adam Sandler I've ever seen because he just shuts up and smiles at being in the same room of someone who's way better than him.
And like, utter awe of the comedy.
Right.
It's a really nice moment.
Yeah.
This shitty, shitty movie.
It is. It reminds me of, our parents have been really into these Dean Martin roasts lately, which are dated in ways that are pretty offensive. But,
horrible.
But the funniest part of them is watching Don Rickles get up there and murder everybody in the room, and everybody in the room is, there's a plaster just shit-eating grin on their face, just thrilled that Don Rickles is going after him. And he just goes, like, he literally will go, it'll be a dais
down the line,
10 people, and he'll just look to his right and go bam, 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 look down, look to his left and start at the other and go bam, 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 stack his note, tap his drink on the gavel, like a gavel, and walk off. And it's just like, done. You're all Rickles. Rickles out. He's incredible. And Milton Berle is that good at this.
Mm-hmm.
He's just nails it. He comes in, it's like 3 minutes, and it's the only 3 minutes of this stupid movie that's watchable.
He might have been the one I said was really good, but that doesn't make sense because it's obvious.
I don't know. So
and then I wrote, OMG, 26 minutes left. Kill me now.
Yeah. And about, what, 17 or 18 minutes of that is taken up by this hijinksy, cartoony chase sequence?
Oh, my God.
It's so absurd.
But before they get into the hijinksy stuff, I guess it's the start. The two guys that the general sent to kill Miss Australia come in. One of them jumps full, like, face full in the camera and says something, then sidles out, and the other one pops in. And they pop in and out each other, like, full face frame.
Right.
For 3 minutes, just talking at the camera.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop. This isn't funny.
And they keep stepping on each other's lines, too. It's really, really weird.
Mm-hmm.
They take off. They drive on a boat for a while. They get to Shecky's boat. They come aboard, and then they try to take over. So,
and they try and find Miss Australia.
Yeah, they try to kill Miss Australia. Excuse me. I'm getting this and Captain Phillips crossed up in my brain, apparently.
I wish that would be a hell of a crossover.
I'm the captain now. Zoobity boobity.
Oh, no. I'm picturing I'm the comedian now. And then Adam Sandler's like, shoobity boo, and then just shoot him in the face.
I want to watch that movie so much more than this movie.
It's not even a movie. Oh. It's a 3-minute YouTube clip. And I still want to watch that more than this 90-minute
That's amazing.
Bullshit.
I want to watch that. Can we make that short film?
I wish.
Can we call that guy from Captain Phillips? Is he busy? Yeah. What is he up to?
He probably is a little busy now.
Well, let's
spending
see.
His money.
Let's see if we can get him on the horn. Funny or die, what are you doing?
Yeah, right? So Adam Sandler's like, because they keep calling for Miss Australia, and Adam Sandler's like, oh, she's a little shit. She was really mean to me. And then she pops up in the same lifeboat he's hiding in. He's like, you shouldn't talk about people behind their back. And he's like, you're the worst, though.
Also, like, I just said facts. You were mean to me.
Uh-huh. And all of a sudden we have to save her life now?
No.
Why?
No.
She's not been redeeming.
No
one's
all.
Been redeeming. If everyone in this movie got mowed down with a gun, I wouldn't care.
But it leads into, like,
Benny Hill.
Straight up Benny Hill, cartoony sequence, because Adam Sandler has had a conversation with Bob. Should I wear a green shirt or pink shirt? A green shirt or a pink shirt? And the joke is that there's literally only 3 shirts he wears in this entire movie, which is his work shirt, the green shirt, and the pink shirt. But he's wearing one shirt while the chase starts, and then at one point they, like, hide behind a wall and they're catching their breath, and he's wearing a different shirt, and she asks him a question about it, and he's like, oh, I think it makes my eyes look better. And then they, like, cut away and cut back, and he's wearing the other color shirt again.
Yeah, it... Poorly established jokes.
I don't even know if that qualifies as a joke.
I think they tried to move.
But it's failing on every measurable aspect of what makes a joke a joke.
I agree. But, like, just because you try and make a cake, like, you can still say, I tried to make a cake, and it's just, you pooped in a pan. You still tried to make a cake.
I don't think that counts as trying to make a cake. I'm sorry to say. So, they have this torturously long sequence where they're running and hiding and running and hiding and running and hiding, and it's gophery, like, pop up over here, and then duck down, and the bad guys pop up, right, and then duck down.
I want
and
them all to die.
It's trying to be Scooby-Doo without any of the tact or knowledge of, this is only funny for a minute and a half, so let's only do it for a minute and a half, versus, oh, we'll just do this until we run out of film.
All caps, why isn't it over yet?
Because
with 14 exclamation points and question marks, each word underlined.
You know what I bet it was, truth be told? I bet they had to hit a certain minute runtime in order to get the distribution deal that they got.
Oh, I'm sure. And this is the moment that I realized that there's individual states in the Miss International pageant.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I meant before when the things make no sense, because you have Kentucky, Iowa, Rhode Island, Jamaica, Canada, Australia. It's just ridiculous.
Unless we really stack the deck in this pageant.
I mean, America is the greatest country on earth, so...
I mean, yeah. There's a man in a banana costume at the end. Evil guys, the bad guys, decide to do stand-up comedy.
And everybody loves it.
For no reason.
It's just to make everyone's totally on board with this.
I was really hoping that they were going to be really amazing.
Yeah, that would have been funny if they actually were just... They hired two talented stand-ups to be the guys instead of just, like, two dudes off the street who've never told a joke before in their life.
Yeah, right? So then, what's-his-face comes out of the bathroom because he's been locked in the bathroom, and he's instantly rude because that's the only character.
Right. And how long is he supposed to have been locked in the bathroom?
A day? A couple hours?
That's what I'm trying to figure out, because...
It's been at least a day because he was the comedian.
Right.
For a night. And now it's a day.
Right.
So it's been at least a day.
So an entire day went by, and no one on the entire cruise ship tried to use that bathroom?
It was his personal bathroom in his room, wasn't it?
The maid didn't check? Nobody went looking for this guy? I mean, I realize I'm talking about logic in a movie like this, but...
You're talking about logic in the movie where the hat in the water was enough to call a funeral?
Right. But I was under the assumption he was only in there for a few hours. But no, you're right. It's at least a day. Okay.
Just end it already.
Right. No, instead what we get is he comes out and he's like, oh, who's telling jokes on my boat? Oh, this is my boat, you sons of bitches. And everyone's like...
He says motherfucker a lot.
He does. And everybody in the crowd goes, we don't like you anymore, Dickie. And then the two terrorists literally throw him over the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone cheers.
Yeah.
It's an actual murderer.
They loved him. Everyone loved Dickie in the beginning. And now, no reason, they hate him.
That's why I was wondering how long he was gone. Like, these people have goldfish memories.
They do. Well, they're in this movie.
That's true. But they also, like, hoot and holler and cheer at a man being thrown to his death.
They threw him a life preserver.
Still, they threw him over the edge of a boat in the middle of the ocean, and everyone's just like, yeah!
And then Neptune's daughter shows up, and her name is Slimy.
Yeah, and she's attractive as hell, of course.
Even though Aphrodite was Neptune's daughter.
I think you're giving a lot of credit to this movie.
But it bothered me. I was like, Neptune had a daughter who was the goddess of love and beauty. Just use that.
But
there's no rights.
But then you can't be shitty to women.
Yeah, you can put her in the skimpiest little outfit you can find.
Yeah, but
put her in lingerie.
You can't call her Slimy.
Also... For some reason, they redubbed the name Slimy, and they say it three times, and every time it's like, this is my daughter, Slimy!
What do you think it was before?
I don't know,
I think it was Slutty.
It's such it's a complete change.
Oh, it is.
It's like when you redubbed your name that one time.
Yes. What, last week's episode, you mean?
Roadhouse?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I redubbed...
This is my daughter. Her name is Slimer.
Yeah,
she wanted to meet you.
I did it last week because my name got muffled. So that's how the movie ends. Adam Sandler makes out with the third or fourth woman he's made
for
out
awkward.
With.
He like awkwardly. He's like, how do we do this?
He sticks his tongue out and they waggle tongues like a really shitty pornographic film. So, I guess we got to do hot tag taglines.
Okay.
Hot tag tagline: going overboard.
Where are the jokes?
Hot tag tagline: going overboard. The movie Adam Sandler doesn't want you to see, and you shouldn't watch. Because it's true.
Unwatchable, says everyone.
I want to get that on the box. If we can get a Dissect the 80s quote on a box re-release, that would make my life.
That would be beautiful.
Yeah. There's a special Criterion edition of Roadhouse. It has us on the top. Just fucking awesome. And awesome. Throat rips for everyone.
Yeah. Weird tiger claws.
Yes. So...
No, I wouldn't recommend this.
Shocking. Shocking. What would you recommend?
Like, I would sooner watch Jack and Jill than this movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would do that.
I think I would.
I think if I had a choice... Okay, here's the question then. Grown Ups 2, Jack and Jill, Going Overboard, Marry, Fuck, Kill.
Oh, so we're gonna say watch every day, watch once, watch never.
Sure. Essentially. Yeah. That's a good way to do it. Yes.
Grown Ups 2 every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because there's other. Because I don't mind the other people in that movie. There's some other people.
You're underestimating how tough that is to watch.
I haven't seen it, but
I haven't either. But there was a podcast I listened to called "The Worst Idea of All Time," where these two guys watched it every week for a year, and they almost killed themselves by the end of it. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that was only 52 times. You're talking a lifetime of daily abuse.
Yeah. So I would probably watch Grown Ups 2 every day.
Okay.
I would watch, since I've already watched Going Overboard, I'm going to say that one. Okay. And that's going to be my one watch. And then never watch Jack and Jill.
Never watch Jill. Okay. I'm going to look up the run times because I'm going to cheat while we do this. So this movie we watch is about 90 minutes.
Jack and Jill is probably about the same.
Grown Ups 2 is 101.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's not that bad, though.
No, but my initial thought was I'm going to go Going Overboard forever because I bet it's the shortest, and I'm just looking it up to confirm. Jack and Jill's 91. It's about the same. I'm going to marry Going Overboard, I think.
Are you really?
I am. And Grown Ups 2, I'll give the one watch. Because I tried to watch Grown Ups 2 with a commentary track from that podcast, and I couldn't get through the whole movie. And I will kill Jack and Jill with all the fire of a thousand suns. And if you'd like to know more about why Jack and Jill is so offensive, I'll point you to another podcast. Look up Red Letter Media, Jack and Jill, and see just the horrible, heinous crimes against art and film and life that Adam Sandler committed making that movie.
I mean, he generally in life did those crimes.
Right. Look, I'll give the guy credit. He figured out a formula. He gets paid a lot of money to stand around in his own clothes in a two shot and go,
and sometimes he probably in his underwear in a recording booth.
Right. So, like, more power to the guy. He figured it out. He figured out the key to life, working very little and getting paid very much. More power to him. I just think his stuff sucks.
He's terrible.
He is.
I'm trying to think of the last Adam Sandler movie I genuinely enjoyed.
I mean, growing up, I liked Little Nicky and Billy Madison. Or not Little Nicky. Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
And the other one. Isn't there a third one in there?
There is.
I feel like there's a third one in that.
It's Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, and
Little Nicky is where it fell off for me.
That was the last one I watched.
I remember you and I were both like, well, that was garbage. Big Daddy we watched a lot.
That's what
it was.
It's Big Daddy.
Yeah.
Little Nicky, Big Daddy, Happy Gilmore, and Billy Madison, I think.
You know what I will say? Truth be told, like, given a choice to watch any Adam Sandler movies,
Big Daddy.
I think The Wedding Singer is very watchable.
I've only seen the musical. I've never seen.
I think that's very watchable, and he's, I think, really funny in Airheads and really funny in Dirty Work, although neither of them I would call an Adam Sandler movie.
50 First Dates, I enjoy.
Yeah, that's past the No Return Sandler me. Wedding Singer, I don't mind, though. So, you know...
See, basically, if he's with Drew Barrymore and her sideways mouth...
You're all right with it?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah, Sandler and I had a good run together, but not so much anymore.
Yeah, early 90s. I think Big Daddy was the last, like,
right.
Adam Sandler movie
that
I was like, I like this.
Yeah, well, I also would not recommend this in case we didn't make that abundantly clear over the last hour.
Don't bother.
Don't bother. Just rate it one star on Netflix.
Don't even.
Yeah. Yeah. Click the not interested button, actually, is what you should do.
There's... And then email Netflix and say, take this away.
Right.
Give me the Golden Girls.
Even if it was free. Yeah. Just delete it. Delete it forever. So to wrap up this week, clue for next time?
This movie had a director and at least one producer.
Ooh. I like it.
Spicy.
I like it. Well, until next time, folks.
Don't you forget about me.
Minutes
one
after
second.
The ship's comedian.
One second. What? Yes. Sorry.